Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. The odd thing, you, your kid, or your dog swallowed. Tyler in Southington.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Tyler.
So I remember this back from an elementary school. My buddy had this massive Doberman. And the dog would eat just about anything if it was
what
left out.
What happened to Dobermans? Remember? They were the dog of the day if you wanted an attack dog. Yeah. Now it's a Rottie.
I saw two the other day. I don't know. It seemed foreign, but yeah.
No, but they were a thing.
Yeah, they were. Everybody had one.
Everyone had
maybe
one.
Maybe health issues?
Yeah, now it's Rottweilers and it's pit bulls.
Right.
Yeah. This thing, so we had to be careful. We had to put everything away if we were done with it. But we didn't think our 64-pack of Crayola crayons would be target for this dog.
64-pack. Wow. That's a good one.
Oh, I know. With the sharpener. He ate the whole box of crayons.
So rainbow poops.
And then it just became, it became the, what do we do now?
It's the Play-Doh waiting fun game. Factory.
Yeah. Yeah, when you see Junior rhyming a piece
and
of
now,
turd.
Yeah. And now we wait.
Sit there and guess what color's going to come out.
What was it with
red on this one? Red on this one.
It was very colorful, and he liked to poop in the sandbox, and that's where we found our crayons, in the sandbox.
Wow. Yep.
What was with the smell of those crayons when you opened them? It just smelled so good.
They did. And Play-Doh
also.
Straight I
want to
eat
wax.
Play-Doh. Yep.
And that's right. When you saw a kid like chewing on a crayon, you're like, yeah, I could see that.
There were so many things back then that smelled really good. Elmer's glue was delicious smelling. Who didn't sniff Elmer's glue?
I think they figured, like, we got to stop making this stuff smell so good. Play-Doh, crayons, glue.
You do those short blasts that we know that. It's like, oh, it smells
exactly.
So good.
This explains a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, like nobody else did it.
We thought he was a dumb dog, but I guess it makes sense.
Yeah,
you know what I would do with Elmer's glue? I put it all over my hands.
Yes!
And you
and
peel
then
it.
Let it peel off.
Yes.
My skin's peeling.
No, but the smell was good. And also, Play-Doh had a great smell. I wanted to eat Play-Doh.
Do you remember rubber cement?
Yes, I do.
Rubber cement.
You make fake boogers with it.
You put
it on
boogers.
Top. Yeah. Put it on top. You keep rolling because there's big green ball.
Yeah.
And then you go, achoo! Pretend like you sneeze and you're friendly, freak out.
Yeah. Well, you got to put some of the raw stuff on top of it so they stick to it.
Exactly. It's got to have a little consistency. Like it's wet, just came out of your nose. Yep.
I say we have major danger taste Elmer's glue, Play-Doh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a great segment.
All right. No, great. He's writing it down. Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome. It sounds like you like Elmer's glue. I thought this would be a treat for
I
you.
I liked it till I had the incident.
What
the incident?
Where I, because usually you use one that was half empty to get the air of it. Well, I did it one time with a full one. I squeezed too hard. Right up my nostril.
Oh.
You know how long it takes to get Elmer's glue out of your nose? It takes a while.
All right. Thank you, Tyler. Jim in Mass.
How you guys doing today? Happy Friday.
Yeah,
happy
how
Friday.
How you doing?
Hey, we used to eat the glue there in art class when we were in elementary school. That stuff tasted real good.
Paste. You ate the paste.
Paste.
Exactly. It was always a kid eating the paste. Like Timmy, we don't eat the paste.
Hey, you paste eater.
Timmy, we don't eat the paste. Yeah.
And his face stuck to the bus window on the way home.
Here. So anyway, I was a kid. I think I was 9 or 10 years old. I'll always remember this when you guys said that. It just brought it back to my memory here. I had a nickel, and I threw it in my mouth, and I was playing around with it, and I ended up swallowing it.
Oops.
And the damn thing got caught right in my throat, just like a butterfly on a carburetor, and I was trying to get it out, and when I breathed in, the damn thing was twirling around in my throat. And then when I breathed out, it was twirling back. I remember that feeling. It was, I couldn't believe it. I finally coughed it out, but thanks for bringing that memory back, guys.
Yeah. When he ran it full force, it would tilt upwards, give him more breathing room.
Yeah.
And then it would close and he'd try to shut it down.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was the craziest feeling, feeling that thing spinning around in my throat, like if you put it on top of a table and spun it.
You were one hiccup away from that thing coming down and jamming in.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to call you Four Barrel.
The pipe is closed.
His name is Four Barrel now. Yeah.
Exactly, Four Barrel now.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right, thank you, brother.
Have
you are in
weekend.
The running for the tickets.
You too, man.
Cheap Trick. Let's go over to Matt from East Haven.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey,
good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. All right. So my wife at the time was cooking for some holiday. I don't know if it was Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever. She put, like, the big four sticks of butter boxes, there was, like, four of them, on my counter and went to go smoke a cigarette. My dog decided to help herself to all four boxes.
Oh.
Wrapper and all.
Right.
So it was, like, 4 pounds of butter.
Yep, the cold dog home pride after that.
He's got four. That dog had no problem passing anything after that.
Yeah, really.
Came right out.
Yeah, when you shoot across the room.
Oh, yeah.
That dog probably just hiccuped and just...
Yeah, the dog would poop would fly across the floor.
Burp.
Exactly. I smell butter. You smell butter?
It was about 3 days to where the dog didn't eat much, but it still was going out both ends.
Right. And the dog's cholesterol and the dog's cholesterol level shot up, too.
Mark in the tractor trailer.
Yeah, good morning. When I was, like, in second grade or first grade, something like that, I found out my mother gave me a bunch of pencils, so I pulled all the erasers off of them and ate those. And
that was another thing that smelled good. We got to make a list of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, the only reason they found out that I ate them is because I stuck one in my ear.
There you go, see?
I didn't get it out.
That was for later. You were the original eraser head.
I know.
I had to go to the nurse's office crying, and they questioned me, and they found out I ate about five or six of them, so.
Right. Yeah, all your poop had safety tips on them.
He
took a number two with a little eraser on it.
Yeah, we had a kid that stuck a bunch of them up his nose.
Oh.
And they couldn't get them all out at the nurse's office, so he had to go off to the hospital.
Oh, have them pulled out.
Yeah. It's like a bad magic trick.
Who thinks of putting things in your nose? Honestly.
Well, it's my daughter.
Really?
You know, you're still at that age where I think this
you're
is
exploring.
The advancement, right? So when you're just learning how to pick stuff up, you're like, well, what is this? I test it in my mouth.
Right.
Taste test.
Right.
Chew test.
La, 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 la.
Where
I
does
think,
this go?
I think when, you, it, when you're like, yeah, I'm not sure if I want to put this stuff in my mouth anymore.
Right.
Like, well, how about up the nose? I'll try it in the nose. I'll try it in the ear.
Yeah, that's true. I guess adults like, where can the shampoo bottle go? Let me see.
That's right. Where do you think this goes?
Uh-oh, it's stuck.
All right, you're in the running for the tickets, brother. Zach from Ellington.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey,
good
Zach.
Good morning.
So when I was in elementary school, I've seen a lot of stories from elementary school. But,
yeah. And by the way, if you're just coming in here, we're talking about the odd things you, your kid, your dog swallowed. 1-877-764-2535. Everybody on gets in the running for cheap trick tickets. Go ahead, Zach.
So I was chewing on a ballpoint pen, and I would take the pen apart, and then I was chewing on the just the ink sleeve, and then. Just chewing on the very end, but then
was it one of those big
got
pens?
Some of the ink. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then accidentally got down to the ink part, kind of pulled it away from my mouth, and all the ink went into my mouth.
Mm.
And
they call you blue tongue.
Immediately got up and ran for the water fountain.
Yeah, like a Malamute. Let me see your tongue. Hey, a Malamute.
It was like battery acid. It was awful.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say don't drink a sippy cup.
Right.
You know, it's not a Capri Sun.
And what made it even worse is that my elementary school crush goes outside to the water fountain and came back and was like, Miss Teacher, the water fountain is all blue.
Right.
Miss Teacher.
That's the worst.
Yep.
Right in front of your crush.
Although those pen caps... from the big pens were the best for, like, scratching inside your ear. You had to reach, like, oh. Oh, yeah.
That's gross.
That end piece, like, oh, yeah.
I've seen you do that recently.
My leg would, like, kick.
like a dog.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Zach. You're in the running for the tickets. Tom from Milford.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank
Hello, Tom
you.
From Milford.
Hey. So... one of my jobs from transitioning from law enforcement to stay-at-home dad was to bake for my daughter's birthday parties.
Well,
so
thank you for what you've done for us in law enforcement.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. So I made 3 dozen red velvet cupcakes with the icing, left them on the counter, ran to pick up my son from school, came back, and I find the wrappers on the floor, I find the plastic on the floor, no cupcakes, and my dog is in the corner.
Yep.
She's got red velvet all over her lips, yellow lab.
Has that look like, I have no idea what happened
she,
here.
She looked like a cake,
I know I'm going to get framed for this. She had nothing to do with it.
She was like a cake.
So I called the vet, and the vet said, you know, I get nervous because there's chocolate in there. And he says, give her a little peroxide. She'll throw it up, and she'll be good. So I bring her outside, give her a little teaspoon of peroxide. She throws up all over the place. All over the place. Like three or four or five bombs.
Wait,
all over
what was
the grass.
That? How did that sound?
I says, okay, hang on. It'll come again. So I says, okay, she's fine. I bring her inside. Three more times, bombs. All over the house. It looked like a bloody Valentine's massacre. I can't even look at red velvet cupcakes. I can't even think about it. It makes me freaking nauseous.
I can see why, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
How do you do that?
You got to get that sound first.
Yep, though. Big time.
Oh, my God. Well, I throw up like that, too. I'm a very loud thrower-upper.
There you go. See? You're not a quiet person at all, no. Yeah. When he throws up, you know it. You hear him several counties down.
Oh, my God. Yep. It was nasty. It was nasty.
But when you throw up, do you throw up like that? Like you're going...
No.
Or are
you like... I can't. Exactly like that. I cannot throw up like a chick. I gotta hug the bowl, and it's a hearty man puke.
That's a hearty man puke.
Wow.
Yep.
Yes. We'll have a throwing up competition there.
All right, that sounds like a good time. All right, you're in the running for the tickets. Thank you, Tom.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Wow.
Well, well told.
The sound effects made it.
Yep. Yeah. Really did. He took us there.
But, you know, when we smell cupcakes being baked, it's heaven,
it
right?
Is. Yeah.
Think about what it does to a dog's nose.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. I'm heaven.
Let her on my own belly for a second here.
I hope I get one.
Oh, please let me have one.
And then he leaves the house, leaves him on the counter. It's like, no, why would you do this to me? I want to be a good dog. I'll just have one.
Right. Just one. Just like, a little taste.
I'm going to lick one.
Just one little bit. Oh, my God, animal. Oh, God, now what? He's a cop.
There had to be some paper wrappers in there. There's no way that dog got every cupcake out of the paper wrapper.
How did the dog know to, like, peel the wrapper back for her?
Yeah, right. I'm sure that the little brownies wrapped them in
had
paper.
Had to have eaten some of them and thought, I don't like it with the wrapper.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to try it without the wrapper and see how that goes. I tried to eat around the wrapper. Wrapper's not good. That's hard going down.
I saw them do that once.
Right. Yeah. Let me try that.
The kids do that when they unwrap it.
All right, I think we have time for one more here.
One of us.
Jerry the Painter.
Jerry!
Long time no talk.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Nice, man, nice. Thank you.
Hey, so when my son was about 6 months old, my wife put him in a playpen over by a desk. He got into a sewing kit. He decided to start chowing on a sewing kit.
Oh.
So we had to take him to the hospital. They did an x-ray. They found a button in his stomach, so... The doctor writes on the x-ray, hey, Chris, next time stick to food.
Nice.
But anyway, the kid keeps us in stitches.
Hey! They call him Needles. Hey, man, hey, you.
Wow.
Anyway,
sewing
that's
kit.
My story. I'm sticking to it.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yep.
Wow, that could have been bad.
Pops
a button.
Sewing kit.
Yep.
Ah.
Kid passes gas.
Looks like
out.
Spaghetti. Really thin spaghetti.
Steve... the truck driver.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Good morning.
Me and my brother had a paper route, and we found a pigeon that was hurt. So my brother brought it home, and we had a garage next to my – we had a Husky. And I guess the pigeon got well enough and started walking towards the Husky, and, just saw feathers.
Oh.
Oh, no.
The Husky said, look, Thanksgiving. Right.
Yeah.
Stupid pigeon.
You know, he was a good boy.
Right.
He was a good dog, but
right.
He used to eat everything.
Yeah, dog. Hungry dog.
Friendly dog.
Yeah.
Right. Then dog's like.
Dog's like, this feels good in my mouth. It vibrates.
I like this, yeah.
So,
all right.
Sorry, guys.
Pigeons taste a lot like chicken.
You don't miss Connecticut?
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you. Pigeons taste a lot like chicken.
Like, well, squab is pigeon.
What's that?
Squab is pigeon. It's a delicacy.
Squab?
Squab.
Squab?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is squab?
It's like, okay, you ever see like the little little roaster and that little Cornish game hens? Squab is kind of like that. It's a smaller version. Squab is actually a pigeon. The
Where
French
they...
eat it.
Oh, really?
Yep. The French eat anything.
They have a
they'll look at a friggin' snail and say, that looks delicious.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, most were like, gah!
Was there a famine over there? Like, all right, gather up the pigeons and the snails.
And the frogs.
Anything that leaves a trail, I'm not
frogs.
Eating.
Yeah, yeah right.
Frogs, exactly, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no thanks. I want cow.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a pizza. Who is going to win the McGregor-Cowboy fight tomorrow? Let's ask Dave Feldman, CEO and founder of Bare Knuckle Boxing. Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
Who's going to win?
I'd have to say I think it's a tough fight, but
yeah.
I don't think Conor McGregor would fight again right now unless he was 100% prepared. So I think I'm going to lean towards McGregor.
Really?
McGregor!
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 Yeah, I think McGregor wins. I think it's going to be a tough fight for a round or two. I don't think it goes the distance. And I do think McGregor ends up knocking Cowboy out. Yeah. I do think he does. Cowboy's a phenomenal guy. He's been to our fights before. He's a great guy. But you're asking me my honest opinion. I have to give my honest opinion. I think that McGregor probably wants this a little more right now because he wouldn't be doing this. He wouldn't fight. He doesn't need the money. He wants the money like anybody else, but he doesn't need it now. And he wouldn't be doing this, I don't think, unless he was in tip-top condition and ready to roll. Cowboy is a guy's guy. He's a man's man. He's just a real dude. And he's training his ass off, and, you know, he wants the best for his family. I just don't think that McGregor would take this with what everybody's been saying about him, that he's done and, you know, his career's over. I don't know if he would take this
right
for just the money. I think that he has deceiving power, and I think that a lot of people don't really understand to go in to fight him what kind of knockout power he really has. But everybody he hits, you know, flush, he knocks him out or he hurts him. Cerrone has just come off actually just getting stopped in his last fight. I believe it was his last fight. So, you know, it's primed for a great fight. I mean, it should be a phenomenal fight.
What happens to McGregor's career if he loses?
He's probably done. Done with MMA.
How much is he getting paid for this fight?
I really honestly do not know how much he's getting paid. I would venture to say he's going to end up with $50 million at the end of the day.
Yeah, it looks like it's being reported. It's an $80 million payday.
Wow. For the winner?
For Conor McGregor.
Not for Conor. So just in combat sports, just so you guys know, it's not really necessarily like you sign a contract for a certain amount of money. So it doesn't matter really if you win or lose most of the times. It's not like the purse is there and the winner gets this and the loser gets that. It's that you sign a contract for a certain amount and that's what you get paid.
Dave, would you guess that Cowboy's not going to get the Conor McGregor money?
Oh, no way.
No way
in the world. If you're telling me that Conor McGregor is going to make 80, I would say he makes 10% of that.
Wow.
Really?
That's still a lot of money.
Yeah, but still, but compared.
For
yeah.
one fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reading a report here, but Cerrone denies it that says that he's making $2 million for this fight.
I couldn't find any validity to that either.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, but you're watching the fight. I will not be because I don't want to pay $90 to watch the fight.
Right.
It's expensive.
It is.
Certainly is expensive.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to a watch party, so.
See?
There you go. See? See? You know
that's
the deal.
How to do it.
Yeah,
see, this is who you want running your company.
Exactly.
Guy who knows how to get things for free.
Right.
We're looking forward to Bare Knuckle fighting coming to Connecticut. Keep us posted on that. We're here for you.
I absolutely will, but if I can just throw a plug in, check out the website. BareKnuckle.tv, and it'll show about our next upcoming fight, February 15th in Miami, Florida, which we have former UFC contender and former Bellator world champion Hector Lombard will be headlining that event. It'll be a great event, so check that out on our website at bareknuckle.tv.
Nice. Dave Feldman, president and founder, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. We're linked up to Bare Knuckle TV at WPLR.com. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Did you find a crazy weather forecaster? This is the guy from Philly, right?
Yeah. He's AccuWeather guy, Jim Kosak.
AccuWeather.
Oh, yes.
Do we have to? Can't we just get a one-way ticket to New Orleans? Just one way. Yes, I'd miss the cheesesteaks. But then you replace it with red beans and rice. Gumbo. Jambalaya. Woo! I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Jim Kosak.
What is this guy doing now?
This is a weather report.
Therapy.
No, I know.
Therapy.
We know, Phil. We That's mean, funny. Today, Phil. McFly, hello. No,
what is he doing today?
I don't know the answer.
Writing books.
It's also gumbo, not jumbo.
He said jambalaya.
Maybe. No, he said jumbo, jambalaya. He said both.
This is where Ashley draws the line.
Right.
Food.
Yep.
It's not the city. It's the storm. Paralyzing, crippling, record-breaking storm! I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Jim Kosak. We got problems. First and foremost, 36 is a problem. Why? Because it's above freezing. When snow arrives during the middle latter stages of the afternoon, it kicks the temperature south of freezing. So then what melted turns to black ice. So that's problem numero uno. Problem number deuce. Dose. 8 to 16 inches of snow. And if you held me down, stole my lunch money, I tell you, I think we're more toward the high end of that as opposed to the low end. If that weren't enough, tertiary problem. Yeah, I've been reading the dictionary. Blowing and drifting! So you shovel Saturday. Then it drifts back over. You shovel again. Drifts back over.
This is like watching the wig master wig out.
Yeah.
You're just wondering, is this the time the blood vessel in his brain pops and hits the ground?
Should we step backwards?
Right.
Yep. I like it.
Will it land on us?
Yeah.
Had my attention.
A lot of energy.
Yes. He's got 10 seconds left, guys.
Okay.
Wow. So he probably gets hemorrhoids from these reports. He probably pushes them out of his ass.
He probably does.
Yeah.
But the snow winds down. Otherwise, Saturday afternoon, brighter, drier here. Maybe some snow showers later into Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'm meteorologist Jim Kosak.
Yeah, he lost. He blew it all out.
Yeah.
Blowing and drifting.
Yep.
Blowing and drifting. Snow!
The morning show, blowing and drifting.
Blowing and drifting in the morning.
It's a record-breaking show!
Oh, my freaking God!
I'm getting text messages from Scott Haney that he was in the bathroom.
Oh, really?
And we should call back.
Can we call him now?
Is there a different kind of storm
Let's
going on in there?
Calling him now.
Right.
Blowing and drifting!
Yeah, what was he doing in the bathroom?
Blowing and drifting! 14 to 22 inches of snow!
Keep in mind that the road behind the snow plows is in better condition than the roads in front of the snow plows.
Thank you, genius.
Yeah, the lesser idiot. Who would have thought?
Oh, Jesus.
I actually missed that idiot now.
Wait, well, you just...
I actually missed that idiot now.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly cloudy, chance of afternoon snow or rain. Afternoon snow, rain shower, highs, limited 40s. Yeah, 30 in Milford. I'm done. No one to say when's my motto. Right. What's the matter, you?
Hey, where were you?
I was in the bathroom. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, I apologize to your coworkers.
I'm having a little problem.
Oh, really?
You think?
Oh, no.
You missed an entire break, damn it.
What happened?
It was terrible.
Is this something you ate last night?
I don't know what happened, but it was bad.
That's his forecast. It was bad.
How you clog an industrial toilet, I do not know.
Apparently you found out.
Lots of paperwork.
Oh, my God in heaven. I'm so sorry.
Who is laughing behind him?
He's like dancing right now or what?
What's that, Phil?
Like,
who's behind
terrible.
Him?
Someone is cackling behind him.
It's Renee.
That's the plumber.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So was this something that was about to burst while you were on
Yes.
On air?
I had to literally run. And I was like, I lost all track of time.
So you got, so at what time did this thing make itself known?
7:28.
Oh. Okay. So he knows the exact minute.
You were already off the air.
Oh, yeah, clearly. Oh, I ran from the air to the restroom. Yeah, it was a sprint marathon.
So wait, did you do some drop?
Yes.
During the network show, then you went and did a drop.
Yes, I had to relieve myself.
Right.
Yeah. Double drop duty.
Right.
Right.
Oh my God, it was terrible.
It was bombogenesis.
I feel much better now though.
Job of bombogenesis.
Unbelievable. Oh, unbelievable. How are you? How are you
good,
guys?
Good. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, man. I'm relieved.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Whew. You sound better.
We have about a minute. So this thing, not a thing, right? Inconvenience tomorrow afternoon.
For the shoreline, anywhere from 1 to 2 inches. Could pick up about 3 in the New Haven area. Further inland, you go 2 to 5 inches. We are taking a look at some snowfall that's going to occur from about 3 o'clock to about 9 o'clock tomorrow evening. It'll start to wind down towards midnight tomorrow night. So it's not a huge, you know, no more than 5 or 6 inches. But still, a half a foot of snow in parts of the state is substantial. That'll be up against the Mass border. So you got to be real careful driving around out there tomorrow afternoon. Get the errands done in the morning and in the early afternoon. And then by late afternoon, the snow will begin. It'll snow through tomorrow night, changing over to a brief period of rain along the shoreline by about midnight. And then the whole thing, by the time you wake up on Sunday, the sun should be out.
Fantastic.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Glad you're feeling better.
I'm very sorry I missed my head time.
Hey, this is better. Why do all these people tell me this stuff later?
Surprise, by the way.
I played Jimmy Hoffa.
That was you?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, this is how I have
to find out. I look a little
like
Al Pacino.
I know.
I'm in the background, so it's not anything to...
It's a big deal.
Were you the third guy from the left?
I'm not in the cast.
Right.
So I'm getting my hair cut yesterday at the house.
Right.
One of Young Chaz's friends came over, and during the course of the conversation, Young Chaz said, yeah, one of my buddies was in the Joker.
Huh.
I'm like, what?
Why are you talking
about?
Yeah,
he's in the anarchy scene.
Okay.
He's spray painting something.
Right.
Like graffiti.
Oh, tagging.
Like, you're telling me this now?
Right.
I was a
Get out of the house!
I was the dancer.
You were a dancer?
Yeah. I was on the dance floor with Al Pacino and Anna Paquin. And
oh, look at you.
So you were in the scene,
you
the ballroom scene. Right?
Yeah, and another cool part of that was little Steven Van Zandt was on stage playing Jerry Val.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, so you have Steven Van Zandt, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, Harvey Keitel.
Harvey Keitel was sitting right next to me. De Niro. This guy, Jesse.
What's her name from East Haven was
Clements,
in that scene.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Ray Romano.
Wow.
Right.
Why? Ray Romano.
He did good.
Why?
He's you know, great. I still see him, and I expect comedy.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought he did a good job.
Did you see him in Vinyl, HBO?
I haven't seen him.
He was so good in that. I didn't realize till the end of the season that, like, oh my God, he made me forget all about Everybody Loves Raymond.
Really?
That's how good he was.
I'll have to watch
He's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who knew?
And then you had a guest who wasn't in the movie show up.
Oh, really? Who's that?
That black cat from the Cowboys game.
Guy. Do you have Alzheimer's?
Apparently
you just
good.
Told me.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio stuff.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
What?
You told me that a minute ago.
You
forgot about
Leo?
Said
Leo. I mean, oh my God.
It's all that weed you smoked on the way over.
Leo.
Right. I couldn't drive here. I had too much weed.
And what the hell kind of day is that? Listen to those names that
right?
are all
yeah.
there.
Exactly. Jeez.
But I'm telling you, after a couple of 16-hour days, you're like, okay, I've had enough.
Right.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, get away from you people.
16 hours. And
how many days were you there in that ballroom?
10. 10 days.
10 days.
10 days.
16 hours a day.
A lot of ballroom.
Oh, my God. And that scene was like, what, 20 minutes, half an hour?
Yeah. And then we had the herbal fake cigarettes.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's her name?
Right.
Said that they had to shut that scene down because there was too much smoke and everything went off. And you were there for that?
Scorsese was, I guess he was having breathing problems.
So he was having breathing problems, but they also had an issue with, like, smoke detectors, too. No?
Really? I don't remember that. I didn't hear anything going on. But, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't seen nothing. I ain't seen nothing.
Keep that quiet.
I ain't seen nothing, okay?
And then we heard that Al Pacino was vamping on stage when he was doing that
Yes.
Whole, like he loves, he loves being in front of a crowd. And
yeah, and that's like, I'm like, is he making the stuff up?
Hoo-wah!
Yeah.
That's the feeling I got.
What was your direction? What did they tell you?
Don't screw up.
Did I mention the call letters? PLR. Chaz and AJ in the morning. 99.1 PLR.
So long ago.
Yeah.
They're like, just go in the back, stand in the back. And then my
Wait. There has to be more than that. Go in the back, stand in the back.
Well, it's usually
wait for the truck.
It's usually okay. You're doing, you know, it's an assistant to assistant to assistant. He's responsible for you, and he's like, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to do a cross, and then you go.
What does that mean? You're just walking across the dance floor.
Then you get to that point, you cross back.
Nice.
You get to that point, cross back.
Nice. And you just keep doing that.
You're very cross.
We were doing that, and then we were in a wardrobe lineup.
So you can't, like walk by the camera real slow, like facing it.
You'll high
and wave.
Right. Probably not.
You get shown the door immediately.
Blink your eyes and kiss to somebody. Yeah.
Did you have any interaction with any of the big names we just mentioned?
Al Pacino was playing around with us a little bit. Not to me, but talking to people at the tables. Harvey Keitel was wrapped the day.
What does that mean? Like he was
done. He's done. That was
this was his last scene.
Halloween, like 2 years ago, by the way. And so they go, Harvey's wrapped, everybody. And Harvey Keitel gets up, 250 extras in the room. He's like, okay, thank you, everybody. Listen, Halloween, you're all invited over to Marty's house for a Halloween costume party. Yeah. And we're like, yeah.
And that's not real.
250 people there.
Right.
Bo Dietl was there. You know Bo Dietl?
No.
He was in the movie with the watermelon. You know the watermelon scene? You said you saw it?
Oh, dear.
I did. It was 3 hours. Can you narrow it down? Right. Watermelon scene.
Yeah, it was happen? De Niro, Hoffa, and Bo Dietl. Hoffa did not like alcohol, so they hid it in the watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
And so they would eat the watermelon.
Right.
He was also the guy in Goodfellas when Henry gets arrested. You going to make a cake, Henry? Huh? You going to make a cake? And he's got the bowl full of cocaine. Right. That was Bo Dietl. Yeah. Bo Dietl ran for mayor on... That was the day of the election. He got like 0.5 of a percent.
Right.
So he showed up. And I guess he knew the guy he was standing next to. And he, you know, the Italian, he gave him a kiss. And then he gave me a kiss.
Nice. Wow.
It was pretty sweet.
A kiss.
Yes.
Right. From Bo Dietl.
It was all right.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was a tongue kiss.
That's cool.
But we were waiting at the wardrobe lineup, and my friend and I were doing like 70s songs. And he starts going, more than a woman. And I said, more than a woman. And I spun around.
Right.
And just then, I didn't know it, but they were looking for people on the dance floor. And they go, you're on the dance floor. And
nice.
I don't really know how to dance.
Look at you.
No kidding.
Too late now.
So I wound up on the dance floor.
Too late
now.
This
is a scene with Al Pacino and Anna Paquin. Anna Paquin is De Niro's daughter.
Yeah.
And then, so... We're kind of dancing right next to each other.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny, on the day of, De Niro, I guess, hadn't met Anna Paquin before. So in between scenes, he comes up. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm your father.
Yeah. Like Maury. It's like Maury.
Did he wear a black helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I'm your baby daddy.
That's pretty cool. You know, once you're in that crew, you're in that crew. And now I know it's a lower level, but the people that hired you... obviously get hired for all of Marty's movies.
Right.
There's a choreographer that works on, like on everything.
Everything.
If he had any kind of movement. So he was out there working with us with the dance. Supposedly he's worked on like every movie. The editor, Thelma, I forget her last name.
Louise.
Every film.
Yeah.
I know his mother's been in some movies, but if you look, his father's also been in a couple of movies as well. He's, you know, plays... one of the guys in jail in Goodfellas. He's got the big, thick glasses, so he puts his parents in there all the time.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah, not to pay him.
Jim Gallagher in studio. He had a starring role in The Irishman. Well, not starring, but
no,
big role.
He was there somewhere.
Can't miss me.
Third voice to the left.
It's possible to miss.
But a big role in a scene.
Right, he was there.
Well, not a big role in a scene.
He made a scene.
But he was in a big scene.
Right.
I was next to people.
And then someone called.
Is that him?
That's Marty Scorsese right now.
Can you do it?
Yeah. Put him on speaker.
Uh-oh.
Hey, is that Al Pacino?
It's Al Pacino.
Put it up against
I got to tell you. He made the film. Gallagher.
Thank you, Al.
You are unbelievable. Not my overacting, but your acting. Your underacting.
I sort of underplayed it, right? I did the under...
you were perfect. Perfect in the background.
Now, do you remember what he did in the movie?
No.
Yes, that's him, all right. That's Al Pacino, all right.
But we unforgettable because you don't know he's there. You never see him come. Ever. You don't even see him.
But we did that big scene together, Al, right? You gave me a lot of tips.
I did. I said, Jim, just sit there and be you. And nobody will notice.
Just blend in.
Thank you, Mr. Pacino.
Call me Al.
That's my gift to you. I overact. You underact. Genius.
Level each other out.
Exactly right.
Jeez, thank you, Mr. Pacino. Good luck at the Oscars.
I love you. I love you. I'll see you later. I got to go meet Martin.
What are you guys doing together?
We're going to beat the shit out of Bobby.
Thank you. There you go. That's important.
I'm going to hit the dump button on that one.
Yeah, right.
Only Al Pacino could get away with
that. That's true, yes. Yeah. It's convincing.
New thing. Martin Scorsese directs the next Rocky. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Well, I haven't heard that one.
Who's playing Rocky?
That's the
Boss Keith's top five.
Yes.
What is it this week?
So I figured out that I am really easy. I'm an easy target to get robbed.
Nice.
And so I've come up with.
Have you been robbed?
I've never been robbed.
He will
be. But looking at this list, I do all of these things, and it's the top five ways to easily get robbed.
Nice.
Oh.
And it's really a problem because I don't follow any advice as far as this stuff goes. And
do you go anywhere where you would be robbed?
You may not want to advertise.
I know. It'll be right.
Yeah, really, you hear what I say.
Out the front door.
Right. I'm not talking about getting mugged on the street, like getting your car robbed, getting your house robbed.
Oh. Okay.
So there are ways to prevent that I definitely don't do. And I'm wondering, actually, this is more of a group exercise, if you guys do these things.
Okay.
Okay. So number five, this one my parents said my whole life. When you buy a house, you have to do this. I definitely don't do it. Have a timer on your lights. So when you're not home, the lights turn on. So if it looks like you're home, I've never done that one time.
No.
Nope. None of you do that.
I just leave them on.
Nope.
You just leave all the lights on.
All the time.
I shut mine off and have the door open.
So they say leaving the lights on, having timers on your lights is a quick, easy way to make criminals think that you're not home. I do not do that. I do it with the Christmas tree. That's about the extent.
No, to make them think you are home.
You are home. Right. 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 Number four. And I do this all the time, too, leaving all the Amazon boxes outside your house. Don't order stuff if you're not going to be home. I constantly am ordering things when I'm away. So when you get home, there's boxes just like in the yard, in front of the garage. You're never supposed to do that.
Yeah, someone steals them.
That's
but it says you're not
people.
Home.
Right.
It says you're not home, and it also says, like, take all these boxes.
Right. Okay. It's very easy to come and just get this stuff.
So what you do is you empty them, you put them on your front, and someone steals them, you have to throw them out.
Right, that's true.
You put your regular trash in there.
Right. Why break all these boxes down to fit them in the garbage can?
Exactly, right.
Just put a rock in them and tape them back up.
You take your regular household trash, you put them
inside
in there.
The boxes.
That's where they take it away for you.
Like old chicken parts.
Exactly.
Like, I think that's great.
They clunk it thinking there's something in there, but you're actually throwing your garbage out for you.
So this has happened a lot here, and actually this happened to one of my friends as well. You got to sign out of your work email. So you're logged into a work computer, right?
Yes.
And so say I'm on after you, right, Chaz? And I go in here. You're not logged out. I log in. I'm just going through your accounts. I'm Venmoing myself money.
Oh,
you
wow.
have to log out. So my buddy's boss did not log out of his work computer and found out he was getting fired that way.
Wow.
All the
emails said, like, Jim's last day, Jim's replacement, Jim getting fired. Jim was like, there's a problem here, I
not
think.
The Jim I know.
The Jim you know from one of his earlier jobs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not this job.
No, it's worse. This Lappy gets a hold of your email and does all kinds of perverted things to it.
Right. This is a problem. And this has happened here a bunch that people don't log out. So if I was a criminal or a bad person in this building, I would come in and just send myself money from your bank accounts.
I learned my boss's phone passcode.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, nice. There was a master one at RCN.
Yeah.
And I used to go in there and listen to his messages. And he couldn't figure out why he never had any new messages, but lots of old ones that he never heard before. Right, right.
Or that you would tell him his messages were. By the way, at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I wanted to know if, if people were interviewing for my job.
Exactly. It's called safeguarding.
Number two, this comes from Kim Kardashian, actually.
Oh, God.
So Kim Kardashian used to post where she was all the time on all her social media, right. And she got robbed at gunpoint in France because she was posting pictures in France of her wearing all sorts of fancy jewelry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you see this all the time, and nobody doesn't do this. They post pictures from Aruba. So if I'm following you, and if you're a public figure and I'm following you, now I know, if I know where you live, like, I can come to your house and take all your stuff.
Right.
Like, I know you're gone. I know where you are. Like, everybody does this, and nobody thinks, wait, maybe I should not post my exact location.
You definitely do that during your steak trips.
I do it all the time.
But I have a feeling someone's watching your house while you're doing it.
Yeah, the burglars.
Yeah, right.
The guys stealing your Amazon stuff.
Right. In reality.
Are watching your house.
If you want to take my 2011 TV, like, go wild. Yeah, anything good that I own. I don't take everything. I don't care.
Yeah, they'll break in and say, there's nothing here we want.
I left the
garage. I feel bad for this guy. We need to fix this door.
Exactly.
I left the garage open and all the doors unlocked the other night when I went to sleep, and I woke up and I went, oh. And then, but it's the same scenario. The criminals would come in and say, like, well, we're not going to kidnap this old man. And, like, look at all this junk. We don't want any of this stuff.
Too heavy to carry.
This laptop is from 2007. All right. And the number one thing, which I just learned that you should definitely not do, is if you have a push button start on your car, you shouldn't leave your keys in your car when you pump gas. So, because technically somebody could jump into your car and take off while you're outside pumping the gas.
Hmm.
Think about that. So you should have your keys on your person so they can't, like, take off with your car because you have your keys.
People in good neighborhoods think that bad people will not come into their neighborhoods to take their cars. So when you talk to a cop and they tell you about car thefts, it's usually people who leave the fob in the car thinking no one's ever going to take this car.
Yeah, no, keep the fob with you.
Right, 100%. But so people can steal my car. Please, steal my car. I leave the keys on it. I leave it in it. Like,
there's a welcome mat out front, the snacks.
But in general, like, if you have a nice car, when you're getting gas, think about that. Make sure you have your keys on you. That's a safety tip from me. I'm being helpful today.
Well, thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.